Why do you have to feel it to heal it? Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin.
All right, man. We're going to talk a little bit about experiential stuff today, I guess. Right, Brandon?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It's kind of a therapy word, but
yeah,
we'll get into what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, a couple of things before we get into it. One is just we've kind of officially launched the website. It's up and live. Radiant Dawn Conference is coming up April 11th through April 14th. This is a women's conference, and it's basically one of the favorite things that both you and I do every single year.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. And we're actually in this episode going to talk about some of the stuff we do there, probably not too many specifics, but why we do these retreats and why we do these conferences. For me, Tyler, it's beyond just like, hey, throwing an event. It has to happen because I know that experiential work is important and it works, so we have to do it. Because both of us are such believers in it.
Yeah, it's like we're called to do these kinds of things because we believe so strongly in the power of change that comes as a result of being a part of these things.
And this, you know, Radiant Dawn, it comes around once a year. And so if you put it off a couple years, you've wanted to come, you know, you're going to have to wait another year unless you sign up this time. So just do it. Pull the trigger. Make it happen.
Yeah, go to radiantdawn.org. That's radiantdawn.org. And you can take a look at it. There's tons of videos, reviews. You can kind of see what the experience is going to look like without giving away all of it. And yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, come on down. Let's do it. All right, Tyler. Well,
Brandon, let me get a review out there too really quickly.
Oh, that's right. We had a review.
Yes, we got another review that we just found. And so we want to share it. This one says life-changing perspective. It says, my wife introduced me to this podcast about a month ago, and it's been a game changer. Since listening to the podcast, I feel like I've been able to communicate better with my wife, which has helped our relationship. I've also been able to understand and face things I've struggled with for years. Thank you. Well, thank mm-hmm. you. We appreciate the feedback. We love the reviews. They're like little, like, every time one comes through, Brandon and I are excited to get your feedback. And it's like little like presents that are left for us. Sometimes even if they're not very positive, it's still fun to get them.
Yeah. Love it. Thank you so much. little presents that are left for us. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you get on, I get on like once a week and just kind of check the podcast, you know, and once in a while there's a couple that show up and I get to read them and it's like, oh, that just brightened my day. Thank you.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. So. Love it. All right, Tyler, can I start by telling you a story?
Sure.
I don't know if you'll remember this or not, but you will remember the first part of this story of I was, you know, sports in our family was really important. Was it not?
Yeah, there was pretty high priority placed on it. We all love sports.
Yeah, like we're a sports family. We play sports. We do different sports. There was three boys to start, you know, the first three boys, and it was just really like get out there and play sports, soccer, baseball, basketball, football even. You know, you won the genetic lottery when it came to mom and dad. I think you did about as good as you possibly could have. Like
with my genetics, I think,
yeah,
I think I maxed out the ability to be as tall as I possibly could have for sure, based on mom and dad's height. Right.
I mean, I don't know if you have the mailman's genes or what happened, but it's,
I am kind of an anomaly in our family.
It's a little odd. These long arms, yeah. You're taller than everybody. And, and so you had some good ability there with sports. Tyler was really good at soccer. He was really good at basketball. And I did not win the genetic lottery, I would say. But I didn't realize I didn't win the genetic lottery. And so I would try my hardest and just be like, I'm not very good. Like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I suck. Like, what? And from a young age, I used to just think, what is wrong with me? What is wrong? How come I'm not better? You know, and I was constantly comparing myself to you, sitting on the end of the bench and all these teams that I'm on, wanting to play more, but I'm just not good. I'm not helping my team because I'm like fat and short and slow.
You're being a little hard on
Yeah,
yourself.
I know I'm exaggerating just a little, I got some natural ability, but I remember one day, I went to my baseball game, and baseball was my thing that I was okay at. I wasn't too horrible at baseball. And it was like the second inning or something, and I hit a home run over the fence, just boom, just caught it just right, just bam. And I remember running around those bases, just having this feeling of exhilaration and like, holy cow, I just did that. Like, I can't believe me, after all these years of experience of like, you can't succeed and you can't do this. When I hit home plate, I was just like, wow, like I did. I had an opposite experience of what I was used to, failing and failing and failing, and had an experience of success. And it really, I remember it to this day very well, right? That day changed my world in many ways and helped me look at things a little bit differently. Of, I might not need to be you and be really good at basketball and whatever, but I am capable and I can do some miraculous things. And it changed my story a little bit inside of me. But you know what had to happen, Tyler? Because you could have told me, or mom or dad could have told me, like, oh, like Brandon, you're good enough. Oh, yeah, you're great. You're like, you beat me at 1-on-1, like one every 20 times we play. Like, you're great.
Yeah.
But like saying those things to me, or me even telling myself that, did not have the same profound impact as actually hitting that home run, right?
That
So do you see where I'm going
moment,
with this? That
yeah,
moment that I
that
had.
moment you lived with a certain built in without even knowing it, you'd live within a certain kind of like level of, let's just say, emotional wavelength of energy or belief system about yourself. And you did have people be like, be you're good enough, or be this, or be that.
Oh, all the
Like,
time.
yeah, but you didn't feel it because you didn't believe it.
Right.
And something shifted in that moment in what would have taken less than 60 seconds to round the bases. There was something that altered the way you felt about yourself and your life, probably forever.
Yep.
And
And the
it
yeah.
was a moment. It
Yep.
was a moment.
You're saying kind of a key word there, and it's felt it. Right. So it's not just processing it in my mind. It's my heart, my soul felt it. And something happened inside of me. And what happens with trauma a lot of times, you talk about trauma. Trauma is having experienced something.
Trauma is an
So
emotional experience that alters the way you live your life.
exactly. Well, and whether that's little t,
Whether you
subtle,
know it
long.
or not.
Long-term trauma or a big event that it's what you just said it is. It's life-altering experiences, right? And so when we're young, this trauma shapes the way that we process and interpret this world. And our defense mechanisms start to get built for survival purposes. So we have these experiences, they come around, and then we build defense mechanisms to survive in this world as a result of the trauma that we've experienced. And we get really good at it and really automatic at it. And the problem is, what's the problem with it, Tyler?
Well, the problem is that because it's changed us in certain ways, and we spend so much time trying to avoid the pain from happening again, we actually in some ways often invite the reenactment of the same kinds of trauma without meaning
Yeah.
to.
Yep, that's one result. Like it we start to recreate it. That's what you're saying? Yeah.
Well, we live
And
it. We live it because we subconsciously believe it.
yeah. So I mean, I'm sure you've worked with clients for years and years, and you're like, God, I want to just tell this person to knock that off. Like, just stop like creating that in your life. It's not that hard. Stop getting into bad relationships. Stop playing small at work. Stop not having boundaries with anybody. Stop, like, just knock it off. Like, stop. But why do they continue it?
Because the belief system drives it.
Yeah. The belief system of this is protecting me for my survival is driving it. And so although they're getting these outcomes that are not good for them, they are automatically going forth with this protective these protective mechanisms that create this stuff that's not great in their life. And as a therapist, Tyler, you can tell them, knock it off, stop it, don't do that. But
Yeah,
what good does that do?
it's like that old Saturday Night Live skit or whatever it was where he's sitting
Stop
there
it.
as a therapist. He's like, I've got some advice for you.
Bob Newhart.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And that's all he says is stop it, stop it, stop it. And
Yeah.
the thing is being on that other side, like it's funny because I can look at my own life and go, why can't I just stop this or that or the other? I can then sit with a client and look at their life and go, why can't they just stop it?
Yeah.
And even as a therapist, like, can't they just see the writing on the wall? But that's when we're actually overlooking the deeper thing that's actually going on is we haven't addressed the thing that's driving the behavior yet.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, and it's kind of like this too, where, you know, we can, like, I see this happen a lot with like, hang with me here on this one, but I see this happen a lot with like people who have like, who become born again. You know, religiously, like they find Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. They have an experience that shifts them fundamentally at their heart. And then when they come and they actually tell their story to other people who haven't had that same experience hear the story and be like, oh, yeah, nice story. Or, oh, yeah, you're a
No.
religious zealot. Or, oh, like this and that and the
Right, right,
other.
right. And they're
But
like, no, you don't get it.
like, no, you don't understand. Like you don't
Yeah.
understand what happened. Like I know I had those same kinds of feelings with my own journey with faith where, you know, I was so caught up in seeing God in a certain light. And then I had this powerful spiritual experience right during D-Day where I was in my most broken place and I had an experience with God's love that changed me forever and changed my whole perspective of God. And even now as I sit and I talk to you, it's like, all right, Tyler, thanks. Yeah, I know Jesus loves you, whatever. But to me, I feel it. Like
Yeah.
I know it. And a lot of times these changes that we're talking about, they need to be happening on that fundamental level of when I say know it, I'm putting my hands on my chest and in my heart instead of my head.
Well,
Like
it's t Tyler, it's interesting what you're talking about. Because I want to come back to you and your experience for a minute, because I think it's a great example. I remember when I was a 18-year-old kid, I was on the beach in Newport, and I'm not trying to make this religious. I actually really like your example here with boring in. And this born again preacher kind of kid, he was probably a couple years older than me, was saying, "Hey, the most important thing is that you're born again, that that you're saved, that God loves you." And I in my kind of naivety or ignorance or whatever we want to call it, was like, "Oh yeah, so yeah, you're born again, and then all of a sudden everything gets better." And he's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, okay, then I'm born again." You know, that's kind of being a jerk. Like, I was like, "You're only born again after all you can do. So you better go get to work really, really hard before you like say that you're born again." He's like, "No, like you just need to feel God's love. You just need to feel God's love." And I had no idea what he was talking about. I had no clue what he was actually saying. And what's interesting with you, Tyler, and your experience is when you had those feelings, when you had that deep spiritual, emotional shift happen, it changes the way you view the world, which then changes your behaviors, which then changes your outcomes. Right, correct?
Yeah, well, and it changes it. So if we could use my example for a second, and this is going all the way back to what you were saying earlier, I did grow up being the kid who was like, I was called the all-American boy. I was called a spiritual giant. I was called all of these things. So I was
Angel boy.
angel boy. I was getting all of the feedback that one would say, oh man, like he's got to have a ton of self-confidence. And I didn't. And I was spent my life trying to walk a path in order to be good enough to be loved. And then in the moments, and this is what's been so weird about my life, the most poignant moments in my life that have shifted my heart towards a different understanding of God, three of them have been in the most broken places I've ever been, where I've felt the least worthy, where I've felt the most broken. And it was in those moments where I had an experience with a higher power that shifted me. And when that shift started to happen, and I started to see God as a loving God who always loves me no matter what,
You don't have to prove yourself.
I don't have to prove myself anymore. Now I want to go do several of the things that I was doing before because my heart wants to do it rather than, oh, I better do it to be loved. And then the patterns start to shift because the energy starts to shift. And then the
Yes.
outcomes start to become different where, you know, I used to be thinking like, oh, I got to even the ledger by being a doing service here and then doing really good at my therapy here, and then eventually I'll be good enough here. And your clients feel that, your neighbors feel that, and they're like, oh, like it doesn't quite feel right, even though he's being a nice guy. But when you're coming from a different energy because it's shifted, all of a sudden you like who you are when you look yourself in the mirror. You want to go put yourself into these good places because when you are loved, that motivation of being loved leads to the pursuit of expressing more love. And so you it shifts everything.
I love it. The pathway, I think to having these experiences is a lot of times through a couple of things. One is surrender, and another is courage. You have to be open, even in your brokenness. You were open because you were broken, Tyler.
That's
Like
right.
God busted you open there. It was just like, I'm desperate. Like, I just need something, right? And so you were open in that moment. So you felt. So you, and through letting go of our protective measures some, and surrendering those over, and then opening up to an experience, that's when you have shifts happen. And you can see different perspectives and feel different things. You can speak to this example I'm going to throw out here, but when we work with people struggling with addiction, and they have, all these beliefs about themselves, one of which is almost always there is, I'm not lovable as I am. I need to manipulate or hide in order to be accepted. And so you have that, and then they come into a group, and that group meshes really well. And they practice vulnerability, and they create connection, and they get deep with knowing each other. And they stand up in front of that group and they say, guys, I normally wouldn't like be this honest, but I'm just going to say these things. And that group fully loves them and accepts them. What happens?
It shifts everything. It's one of my favorite things that happens in like our treatment or in groups when we because we push people into vulnerable places in those groups. You know, we're like, hey, you got to share this, or you got to come up with this project, or you got to go do this challenge, and then you got to come back and report it. And it's an act of courage to surrender to the process, like you were saying, courage and surrender go together. And in doing so, they're now leaning into places that they've always feared would lead to their rejection. And instead, what they get is, oh, me too. Oh my gosh, thanks for sharing, man. Like,
Connection.
yeah, like, oh man, connection. I was actually just reading one of the reviews that we left up on the website from the Radiant Dawn. And I think she said something to the extent of, I felt so safe to share the things that I shared. And it's changed my life, even my current life now. You know, so she came and had this had this kind of like weekend experience. And in one of those experiences within the experience, because we'd put people through several experiences in that weekend, something inside of one of those things shifted her. And it's led now to this totally different trajectory.
Yep.
Because she was
Yep.
willing to surrender and she had the courage to put herself all the way
To
in.
show up, to
Yeah.
show up. Yeah.
Yep.
And then and when other people around her did the same, it created that safety. So she's coming in with this belief of like, let's say she was just betrayed or divorced or hurt or whatever. I can't trust people. I need to isolate and kind of push away because I need to protect myself. And then she goes all in, creates some friendship, opens up and get some love in return. That's an opposite experience to what she believes about the world. So it changes her. It
Changes the
changes.
paradigm of the world.
Yeah. But it happens through that experience. Right?
Yeah, the most, I think that's it. Like, if you look at how the most pervasive things that we get when we're traumatized is a belief system that feels true. So if I get mistreated in a certain way, then I feel devalued, I feel unimportant, I feel like I'm not good enough. And the emotional experience is like the cement that sets in the belief that's like, oh, that must be the truth. And so it would make sense that if we're going to be changing for the better, we would be utilizing the same systems that are so powerful for the negative, right? So we would want to create some type of a glue or cement that goes along with a new belief system that allows me to be more adaptive in my life and in my world and actually have more joy and peace and, in the way that I live. And so that emotional component, which you and I believe happens best when there's active engagement, vulnerability, experience, that can be used for good as much as it has been for bad.
But Tyler, the thing about it is can it be fabricated? So I guess the question I'm throwing out there is, we're saying that having these experiences will shift you and heal you and help you. Can you make these experiences up so that you can go have them, right? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's isn't that what we try to do?
Yeah. So, and I think this is an important thing. Like, this is because you've done EMDR, ART,
Yep.
EMDR, experiential stuff. And somebody who comes in to do EMDR, let's say, and they just aren't that open and their protective parts are everywhere. And what happens?
Yeah, you hit what's called blocking beliefs, and you don't make a lot of progress in that session
Right.
because the protectors are there.
So even though your hand is in front of their face, moving their eyes, whatever, they're having that experience, the shift doesn't take place still. We can have people, jump off cliffs into water and skydive and do whatever, drastic thing. But that element of surrender has to be there in order for it to come in. So back to my question about fabricating these things, we set up an opportunity with our retreats, and inevitably it's like 90%, Tyler. Most of the people that come to our retreats are ready. They are
Yeah.
open. They want an experience, and they're geared up to do it. And then there's just those few people that are like, maybe there because their spouse, pushed them to go. They don't really want to be there. Most of them even break open, bust open eventually,
Yeah.
right?
Well, yes, yeah.
But some don't. Some go through the exact same experiences as everybody else. Everybody else has drastic shifts in their life and experiences, and they don't want to let go. They don't want to open up. God might be right in front of them, showing them like, hey, this is an opportunity. And they're like, I don't see it. Don't want to see it. Not going to take a look. See what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah. And you and I could probably think of specific people that we've seen that were like, oh man, this was a golden opportunity that just wasn't quite the right timing yet or something. But for the most part, bringing this up, Brandon, and thinking about their question as to how do you help create these opportunities or these moments, I look at like what we do at the retreats, and there's a few principles here that I think are actually worth identifying when you're thinking about the power to experience change. One is, to what you said, the people who actually come to the retreats, it takes a lot of their time, it takes a lot of their money, they have to be fully committed to even decide to come. So basically you take a whole bunch of people who are already fully committed to decide to come, and then you put them together. That collective energy of wholehearted people who are willing to come and experience something
It's
in and of
beautiful.
itself is so powerful and so beautiful. And then you pair that up with a set of core principles that we reinforce and that we teach through experiences and the practice of vulnerability and empathy.
And can I throw one in there?
Yeah.
And nature.
And yeah, oh yeah, for sure. And nature being it's so powerful. You put that all together, it makes sense why we year in and year out, every single year we get done, we're like, holy cow. Like, that was incredible. Like,
Well,
and we get the feedback from the majority of the people that go that are like, wow, that was life altering.
You know what's interesting, Tyler, is and I don't think many people understand what I mean when I say this, but you and I work extremely hard with these retreats to get out of the way, to
Yeah.
like not make it about us. Like we try to remove ourselves as much as we can, because it's all about opportunity for connection. So if Tyler and I are up there teaching and like, just heady, heady, heady stuff,
Which we do
it
a little bit
creates,
of.
we do a little bit. Well, we have use, like you say, we have to drive the principles home of certain principles, but then we back out and then we let,
The
I believe
experience.
it's God. We let
Yeah.
God do the work, the experience happen, and God does the work through the other people that they connect with. So, yeah, it's beautiful. We can't quite put it into words, right, Tyler?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You sound like you were just born again, Brandon.
I know. I've been called the repentance from
But
the how I was a jerk to that guy
you're
back in
convicted
the
in
day.
it because you've experienced it differently. Yeah.
We didn't intend for this episode to be a commercial for Radiant Dawn. That's not what our intention was. We are such believers. I believe, Tyler, and this is why I've gotten into the plant medicine stuff as well, because it's incredible when it comes to what we're talking about. It's so powerful. We believe in this. We're therapists. We're talk therapists. People come into our office and talk to us, and we process things. We teach. We do all of those things, and those are important. They're good. But a
Yeah.
deeper healing experience, for if you really want to get to the root, to the core of things, I would say is pretty much required, to really, really shift.
I agree with you. And I'm thinking too, to kind of what you were saying about just the process. I look at like, my wife actually, she's one of the interns here at our practice right now. She sits in on one of my groups, and last week she said, "Tyler, I figured out how you run group." And I said, "Oh, tell me, I don't know how I run groups." She said, "You create an atmosphere." She said, "I don't know how you've done this, but you created an atmosphere where it's safe for every guy to say what's on their mind. And then you just let it unfold until you see one of the guys' defenses coming down, and then you go after it."
Yeah. Welcome to therapy.
It's like you just bust it wide open inside that room. And I said, "Well, actually, maybe there's some truth to that." The way that I view it and the way that I try to see it is, we have these like day-to-day things that we try to do to live a good, wholehearted life, right? We do our dailies, we keep our bottom lines, we do these logistical things. And I think those things are important, but they're important in the sense that they put you on the pathway. So then there's opportunities that come along, not all the time, but there's opportunities that then you have these shifting moments. And there's this like, oh, an EMDR session that was really powerful, bam. Or, oh man, this project that I just did opened me up to see things differently than I've ever seen because my heart's changed with it. Or I go to this experience, like a retreat or something, and because my heart and my life was pointed kind of in that general direction, I was ready to receive what it was that God had for me there. And so I think that's it, is we work really hard to try to help create a pathway that allows opportunities for those powerful experiences. And you and I both believe in this extremely. That's why I'm so drawn to emotion-focused therapy, is the power of the emotion when used properly does far more than just mental talk therapy, even though there's a place for that too.
Just like I said, like you can tell me all day long that I'm good enough, but hitting the home run, that emotional experience of boom, right? I remember that way more than anybody telling me that, hey, you're great, Brandon, right?
And when you say remember, you say it from a different place in your body. Then, like, I can remember this story that happened with us as a kid, like, yeah, funny, funny, but you remember something like almost on a cellular level. You remember that. You remember that home run on a cellular level.
I think, Tyler, a lot of times we're talking about, hey, go to this retreat, do this courageous thing or have this experience. And one thing that I think is important to understand that a lot of this experiential stuff, having an experience, is about just stopping and getting rid of the noise. And so it's not necessarily about getting in the cold water, or all that stuff is great, but maybe the experience you need to have is some silence. Maybe the experience you need to have is not having the kids clinging on your leg all day long, and take a couple hours to yourself, and open up to whatever might be as you do that. Let God talk to you. Listen, be available. And so the experience really isn't doing much. Maybe the experience is doing nothing for
It
a
might be the
moment.
silence.
Right? So you don't need a process and a big production in order. Now sometimes that really works. Go to a concert where you have feelings and you have music and you have lights and you have all this stuff.
That
That can
helps.
really work to awaken your soul. And sometimes just taking a break from the inputs that are just taking your life over can work to awaken your soul.
Yeah, I love that you use that language. My daughter went to a Mumford and Sons concert a couple of years back, and they were sitting on the very back row, and he did kind of this introduction, like, "Hey, welcome everybody." And he's like, "Especially all you mother effers at the back, like, thanks for showing up, so he's like yelling at them and stuff. But then later on in the concert, he played one of their songs, which is called Awake My Soul. And my daughter sitting on the back row at that concert, something inside of her totally shifted. She came home and she was like, "Dad, this song, you wouldn't believe it." And she was trying, I could tell something had happened with her, because she was trying to find words that would let me feel what she had experienced. And she had had an experience of all places at a Mumford and Sons concert right after she got called a mother effer. She had an experience with God,
That's awesome.
and through that song, through the Awake My Soul song. So,
I
yeah.
like you.
So,
I like how you bring that up, that she couldn't really describe it to you, because you can't. And in those moments where you let go and you have those experiences, like, I can't fully describe to you what that home run was like for me,
no, I can only imagine what my own moments like that were, right? But
Right.
it doesn't still it's still not the same.
Yeah, words can't, and my plant medicine ceremony, like, words cannot express what that shift is, and what those ex you can't express what happened to you in your deepest, darkest moment there when God
Nope.
showed up for you,
I'd love
right?
to. I want
It
to. I want to plant it in
sounds
the hearts of
amazing,
everybody. I want to plant it in
right?
everybody's heart. And it's like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, you can't.
Yep.
And but it's those moments that you can't describe. You're having an emotional, because words are about heady stuff. We have to, you had an emotional, like, awakening of your soul, and you can't really put those things in words very well.
Yeah, I would just add one thing for people sitting there thinking right now, like, well, then how do I get these experiences? Like, it's not like Robin Williams in Hook when he's got to learn how to fly, and he's like, "I gotta fly, I gotta fly, I gotta have this
How
experience." It's
come I'm not
like,
just flying now?
it's only after he actually falls off the rock, I think he hits his head, and then he's like, wakes up thinking of his kids, and he's like, "Oh, I found my happy place. And then he's flying, right? So what I would say is to anyone listening to this saying, I want to have some of these kinds of experiences. I know that one way to help at least cultivate the ground where the soil can be fertile for this is to lean really heavily into mindfulness and curiosity, acceptance of life on its terms and being curious what's going on for you rather than living in the shoulds or shouldn'ts of life. And when you learn to say, I'm going to fully throw myself into this experience, like I just had this experience today, Brandon, and yesterday. I've been so torn up emotionally since this happened. You know that last night my daughter, she harvested an elk right on the second to last day of the season. But it felt like two things were happening at once. It felt like we were having this like God wink moment where this elk, who usually totally afraid of people, we were sitting in the right perfect spot. This elk walked into with like 30 yards of us. Just we went to go try to hunt it and it came to us. And then, but it was also in a situation where it was a mother with a yearling, so the baby's going to be okay living by itself. But to watch this unfold, to have my daughter actually harvest the elk, and then to watch my daughter's emotions go through everything that goes through all of this, like I have literally wavered on a teeter-totter of like from elation all the way to like depression in the last 24 hours, having watched this whole thing unfold. And yet this morning when I'm sitting there pondering it and I'm doing some of my own just kind of quiet meditation in my mind, I'm like, even the painful parts of this experience are beautiful. They're going to teach me, they're going to teach my daughter, we're going to learn, we're going to get better at what we were doing. You know, like we're going to I have a video that I took of Paisley after she harvested the elk. She walked up to the elk and she put her hand on its fur and on its face and started petting it. And then she just starts sobbing. She just cried. And I ran the video for about a minute before I turned it off and went over and gave her a hug because I wanted her to remember all of that experience, including the sadness that she felt, right? That has a potential to teach her too. And if we're willing to embrace the full life experience, all of those experiences become windows into the potential moments that change us. So anyway, I hope that makes sense.
Well, I love that, Tyler. And it's funny, since you've told me the whole story, like I'm going through my own process with it, like ups and downs, like putting myself in that situation, like and really asking myself. And I think this is important. Does God call us in? Sometimes God calls us out. And to know, like, when that nudge is happening, to have certain experiences. I believe it or not, I was on you call it Shamestagram, but I was on Instagram, and this ad came up randomly about this weird thing, this weird exercise, healing, breathing modality thing. And I saw it and I thought, that looks really weird. It was an experiential thing. And then I found myself going back to it later that day, like looking up the website. And then I was like, why am I looking this up? This is just weird. It looks just weird, you know. I was nudged. I was nudged. It was saying, God was saying, you need to go to that thing. Like, go to that event. Go to that event. And I didn't know why. But I listened and I stepped in and I went, had a really good experience. And it's changed things for us, Tyler. It's opened up avenues and possibilities,
It's
and
completely altered the way that we actually just did our last retreat because
we
of
do our
what you
work.
experienced. And it actually made it even better and even more powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think we just jump off of cliffs all the time because we want experience. Okay, I'm going to just go do that like reckless thing. Our protective parts are there for a reason, telling us step in or don't. Our protective parts get overactive. And the key to it is to be able to recognize that ego or those protective parts, but also feel when God is calling you to something, feel when God is pushing you in, and to notice those protective parts, thank them, but then step into those experiences. And everybody who's listening today, has opportunity and possibility to step into healing experiences. They're all around you. They're everywhere. And if you'll just listen a little bit and you'll notice and you'll get that nudge and you'll say, okay, God's telling me to go do that one, then you're open, you're stepping in, you're going to have the shifts that you're supposed to have.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Brandon. Yeah, good topic today.
All right, you guys, thank you for listening. Again, we'd love to have you at our Radiant Dawn. It's April 11th. Is
Through the
that
14th, yeah.
11th through the 14th. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. We'll see ya.